Welcome everybody right here in this venue, all of the venues at C3 and online. We're glad that you're here today. My name is Adam and I'm one of the pastors here, and we are just having a great time today. So I always feed off of smiles. So when you love something, I want you to smile. And when you don't like something, I want you to smile. So just kind of walk through it and that'd be great. You know, our summer theme, welcome to C3, because our summer theme evidently is Jumanji. No, it's not Jumanji, it's Raiders of the Lost, but I wanted to give context for people who, you know, might be less than 80 years old, right? So, but it's Raiders of the Lost. And so we're looking at a bunch of themes this summer, and today we're going to be talking about boldness, boldness. I walked into my master bathroom a few weeks ago. I walk in and I think to myself, I see myself in the mirror, and I go, man, Adam, you're looking a little trimmer right now. So I think I'm going to go and jump on the scale, go take a look, because I have this digital scale that communicates with my phone app. The phone app gives me all these statistics, you know, how I'm doing and all this stuff and all my plans. So I go, and whenever I go step on the scale, I always close my eyes. I have a real weird ritual. I don't want to look down and I don't want to look at the app because this information shows up on the app. So I do this. I step on the scale, I close my eyes, and I wait. And my app makes a noise when it's done calculating. It goes, boop, boop, right? So I'm there, I'm standing on the scale, and I wait. Nothing. Dang it, I don't want to look. I don't want to look early when it's calculating. So I wait longer. Finally, I look because it's just taking too long. I look, and this is what it says. Possible error. Verify that you're Adam. A dynamic change in the weight profile over a short period of time makes it necessary that we verify that you are Adam. So I had to click the button to verify who I am. So I say, yep, it's Adam. Click it. Looking for some good news? I had gained 10 pounds. 10 pounds. So the app was worried about me. I'm so grateful. That reminds me of bold. It reminds me of bold vacation eating. Bold vacation eating. There's a lot of things that remind me of bold, and we're talking about bold today. I think 1984, okay? And if you want to go in context, think, I don't know, Stranger Things Season 1, okay? For those of you who are who know about that, you know, nudge your neighbor if you know. If you don't know, don't even worry about it. Just think 1984, right? I'm in a swag tent. I'm at a concert. It's a series of concerts, and you go to the swag tent to get your gear because you love all these artists that were playing at this concert. And, they called it Christian merchandising back in the day, right? Now we call it swag. So we're walking down. I'm with my brother, my Puerto Rican suave brother, and we have a plan. We get to the tent, and we go, you go this way, and I'll go this way, and we'll go and meet as many people as we can, and we'll meet at the middle, at the end of this tent, and see what kind of crew we've developed, right? Pretty bold. So we go, we head out, we start walking, and it's my anniversary week, this week. And here's what happened. I'm walking down this aisleway. All of a sudden, I see the most beautiful person I have ever laid my eyes on. And she turns around and she smiles at me. And I am blown away by this kind, gorgeous person that I thought I would never find in all of my life. And so I step up. I step up to her boldly. It's the time. There's no time to not be bold in these circumstances. I step up and I go, hi, my name's Adam. Would you like to go to a concert with me? Now, mind you, we are at the concerts. We're in the swag tent. Pretty slick. To my surprise, she says, absolutely. And the rest is history. This is my anniversary week, because we don't just celebrate anniversary days at our house and birthdays. We celebrate weeks. So it's anniversary week. 37 years ago. We got married later, right? I didn't get married as a teen, but we got married later. But nevertheless, I connected. That was my crew. And boy, was my Puerto Rican brother jealous. Bold. Well, the rest is history. How about the history? 37 years later, this last summer, another bold environment. I'm out. We're about to leave for vacation with my family. And I go to my kids and I go, just remember this one thing. Don't you forget your swim trunks. I am not going to be in Chelan looking around for swim trunks. Okay? So we get there. I forgot my swim trunks. So then I did what any normal person would do, any normal dad. Borrow your son's swim trunks that are two sizes too small. And they're pink. Now, I love my wife because she posts everything on Facebook. Our entire life is on Facebook. Everything we do, you can see it at any time. And so what I'm about to show you, you cannot unsee. What I'm about to show, it's all over public, so don't blame me, okay? So there I am on the back of the boat, and there I am. I think I'm looking good right here. This is my good pose. There are some things you can't undo. Sometimes when you're bold, it works. Married 37 years. Sometimes when you're bold, it doesn't work. So I'm just warning you right now, that's not the kind of boldness you're looking for. But we lack some boldness. We lack boldness in telling our story about how God's transformed our lives. If you're here today and you have not had the opportunity or haven't given yourself the opportunity to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ personally, meaning, you know, you accept him, you're saying, I want to be forgiven. Maybe you're just checking things out. Maybe somebody invited you here boldly and you're here. I want you to just take a deep breath, relax. You are so awesome, and we love having you with our family. We want you to be here. We want you to remain. We want you to think rationally through the whole process, and we want you to take your time before you make this big decision. But if you're here today and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning you said, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, you make that claim, then you have a job. You have a responsibility, and that is to boldly share what Jesus has done for you. Boldly share your story. And so we lack boldness, though, don't we, in our lives? I see it all the time. I see it in my own life as well. And so even though we're supposed to be bold with our stories, there's a roadblock. Here's some roadblocks. It can be scary. It can be problematic. It can be risky. It can even be dangerous. What if I start sharing this story about an awesome God who came and saved my life, and the person I'm sharing the story with, what if they disagree with me? What if they disagree with me? Oh, what if I sound dumb? What if I don't know enough? What if I haven't studied enough? What if they have an argument that I can't combat? What if, this is the worst one, what if the person that I'm trying to share with knows all my flaws and my obvious weaknesses, and I know if I dare share with them what God's doing in my life right now, that they're going to point those out. And they're going to be right. And I'm going to sit back and go, oh my gosh, I shouldn't even said anything, because now they're pointing out all my flaws and weaknesses. So why do we lack sharing our story if we're followers of Jesus Christ? Why do we lack this boldness that we're supposed to have? It boils down to one thing. We're afraid. If you have your notes today, you can fill in the blanks. That's your first blank. It's on the app as well as on the paper. We are afraid. Let's just admit it. It can be scary. But we're not alone in being afraid. You're not the only one that has experienced fear. People have been experiencing this kind of fear since Jesus was on earth and before. But after Jesus came, he spent all this time with his followers. Followers called disciples, and he walked with them and he invited them, hey, come, you want to follow me? You want to be part of the kingdom of God? Follow me. And he would say crazy things while he was walking around with them. He'd say, if you see me right now, then you've seen God the Father. I'm just like God the Father. I'm perfect like God the Father. He said, anyone that wants a relationship with God must first go through me. And he said, guys, I'm going to die and rise again. I'm going to pay the price for your sin. But they didn't always understand it because they didn't have all the context and all the stuff that we do after seeing everything and having everything explained to us. What did the disciples do with all that information when Jesus did exactly what he said he was going to do? He said he was going to die. He said that in 3 days he was going to rise again. So on Friday he did just that. They saw him get brutalized. And they saw him hung on a cross. And then we pick up a story on a Sunday. 3 days later on a Sunday in John chapter 20 verse 19. Now John is the first book in the New Testament in your Bibles. And if you turn there, John was one of the guys in the room. And here's what John reports. We pick up the story in verse 19. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors. Why? Because they were afraid. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Sometimes we get weird context when we think of Jewish leaders. You know, we use the word Jew. You know, we think of all these things. We think of a bunch of priests running around. The reality is the Jewish leaders in that particular sect, in that particular area, were the political leaders of that zone. They were the high educators of that zone. They weren't just churches. They were the ones in charge of setting law, making sure everybody obeys the law. They were lawmakers. Many of them were politicians. So if you disregard what the politicians said, there was thought police. There was gag orders. There were only certain things you could talk about. You couldn't go to your workplace and talk about anything you feel like. You were told that that's too insensitive. That doesn't work. If you talk about that, you'll be jailed. Thought police. So I get it. I understand fear. And it says in John 20, 19, that while they were in the room, suddenly Jesus was standing there among them and he said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Suddenly Jesus appeared. But before that, let me tell you a little illustration, because I know what it's like in the challenge of being afraid. Go back, I don't know, might be late 80s, somewhere in there, early 90s. I had a professor from the UW. And I decided to take minority studies. I wanted to take a course where it kind of take me out of my comfort zone and allow me just to experience a variety of different cultures. I was very fascinated by a different way people experience things, what people go through, how does it work, all these things. So I took these courses and these minority studies. Not very many people in the room. This is 1989. So I'm in this classroom. Professor gets up. He's sharing all week. He talks about how he was a Christian at one time. He integrates that into his story. He's from the South. His dad was a preacher. You know, a preacher. So he decided that, you know what, that just wasn't for me. There's so many other ways and pathways that he could go. And so he chose a different way to express himself. And in the room, suddenly I realized that everybody in the room had his pathway. And I was the one in a unique pathway. Well, it didn't take long where this professor figured out that I wasn't in his pathway. And he was curious about that. He got to know me. And one day, he's talking about the subject of the early Christian church in this minority study. We're talking about history and all these things. Middle Eastern history suddenly in this minority. He looks at me. He pulls me out of the crowd. "Adam, you call yourself a Christian, don't you? I want you to explain to the class what you think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ." At that moment, I was afraid. I wasn't sure. Am I getting trapped into an argument? Am I going to say the wrong thing? Am I going to look dumb? Am I not going to represent Christ properly? What do I really believe about that? How am I going to explain that? I was caught, and I didn't explain very well. I didn't share very well. I went on and on about my religious heritage, how I'm an ethnic Jew. And that how my dad was in the Holocaust, it was the easiest thing for me to do. Talk about how that went, how we got to America, and somehow that tied to my Christian faith. And it was messy. And then I sat down, and he wasn't particularly impressed, and people in the class weren't that impressed either. And I was afraid. And so the disciples were afraid. You're afraid. And I've been afraid. But in one catalyst moment, when the disciples were behind the locked doors, something happened that they moved from wondering what was next, wondering if they were about to die, to headlong sharing boldly about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One incident, one event, says in John 20:19, it says, suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. The man who said he was going to do X ended up doing it and was standing in front of him. That is the only reason why the disciples would have the boldness to leave a locked room where they were scared of anybody finding out where they were. Where Peter had just run from a middle school student who looked at him and said, "You knew Jesus?" And he said, "No way. There's no way. I don't know anything about that man, Jesus. I have nothing to do with him." He went from that to suddenly, after Sunday, they're out in the marketplace and they're preaching boldly. They're talking about Jesus Christ. Why is that important for followers of Jesus Christ? Why is that the catalyst? Because that means Jesus rose from the dead. You don't do that when you're just making up a story. You don't go from hiding to, well, kill me. You can kill me or you can put me in jail. Either way, Jesus rose. Because people could verify that story right then and there. They could walk up and say, "Jesus didn't rise." But the fact was that the tomb was absolutely empty. So it says in Scripture that the disciples preached boldly to thousands and thousands and thousands of people right there in Jerusalem where everything happened. Everybody knew what had happened. And suddenly Jesus was standing with them. So you can imagine this disrupted the leaders of the day, the lawmakers. And you couldn't shut Peter up at all. He was healing people in Jesus' name. And so at one point, they get called to the leadership. And the leadership has them on trial. They have to go to court. And the high priest says, "How dare you speak about the resurrection? In whose name do you claim that we can be saved? In whose name are you doing these works? In whose name is that guy who was crippled on the street healed?" And Jesus explains the very nature of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. This is the story. Look at Acts 4:10. He looks at the religious leaders boldly. He says, "Let me clearly state to all of you and all the people of Israel that this crippled man was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. The man you crucified, but whom God has raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures. When it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected,'" he's referring to these passages in the Old Testament, "'the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone.'" In other words, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. He's the one that bridged the gap. He's the one that made everything new. He's the one that sets the foundation for anything we can do to know God. So Peter speaks boldly. You see, we speak boldly for what we believe deeply. That's in your fill in the blanks. We speak boldly for what we believe deeply. Think about this. When I go to Costa Vida and I get my pork enchiladas, I cannot leave that place without telling somebody how awesome they were. I am not getting paid by Costa Vida to make this announcement today. I love the Costa Vida pork enchiladas. I don't know what it is. I just love it. So when you love something, you tell people about it. Now, many people I talk to think, "Oh, it's okay. Oh, wow, you're really excited about those pork enchiladas. No big deal." I don't care. I'm going to tell them anyway. I like it. How about shoes? My son loves shoes. He's obsessed with shoes. And now all of a sudden, he's gotten me kind of obsessed with shoes. And I'm all like, "Whoa, I better get a different pair of shoes. Those are kind of dorky. Those are kind of stupid shoes. I want to have cool shoes. I want to have white shoes. I want to have blue shoes. I want to have whatever." And I get a pair of shoes and I get new shoes. I'm like, cozy, like cloud, like air. These are no longer the old kind of shoes. These are really nice. And so I tell people, I go on the tennis court, I go, "Look at my new shoes," right? Speak boldly of what we care about deeply. But so the question really is then, when our walk with Jesus Christ, do we really believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave and that he is your answer for everything to do with your relationship with God? Do you really believe that? He's your answer for everything to do with your relationship with this world. Your entire context has changed if you believe that. And so if you believe that, then you should speak boldly about it. You should tell your story about it. God should be resurrecting your heart and soul. Do we really believe it deeply? What was the message that the disciples shared? What was it? I want to give you real crystal clarity for both people who aren't a Christian and those in the room who claim they're followers. I want to give you crystal clarity. Here's the hinge pin on what you're saying when you're a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, just so you don't say it wrong. Here we go, Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else, Peter says. God has given no other name under heaven. That means in any region, in any geographical location around the whole entire world, no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Nothing. No other plan, no other pathway, no other name, no other process. That's bold. That's a bold message. It can be scary. So if you're not telling your faith in Jesus boldly, if you're not experiencing stories, do you really believe them? So what happened when Peter told this story to these people who didn't necessarily believe it? They were amazed. They were shocked. It says this in Acts 4:13. Acts 4:13 says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Remember that, men who had been with Jesus. I remember an amazement. I went to Russia. I've traveled a variety of different places in the world. And sometimes I find myself in places where you're just not really supposed to talk about Jesus at all. If you do, you get jailed. People who live there all the time get killed. There's some leeway for the people who come in and visit. You can get away with it, but you'll be scolded. But if you live there, it's not going to be pretty. You're going to lose your job, all kinds of things. Imagine living in places like that. Do we want to get to that point, or would you like to live in the place that we're in where you can actually share openly, that you can be bold? But in these contexts, in these places, I remember I was there one time. And this one time, my dad came with me. My dad spoke fluent Ukrainian. We were in Russia. And we were in this city where there was this one part of the city that no one goes into. You're not supposed to go in there. And the Christians in the city love people. But they literally said, this is one zone we are not going to. Because if you go in there, you will be killed. Period. No questions asked. Done. So my dad is bold. So when he heard that, he says, you know where we should go? We should go in there. So my dad says, come on, son. And he and I traipse off into the danger zone. And it was exciting. These gangs came up to us. We're so baffled that we would even be there. Two weird American dudes standing in front of them. One speaks Ukrainian. The other one can't speak anything. Just, oh. And why are we there? We shouldn't be there. So they bring us into this area. We go down these corridors. I mean, you know, if we had died, nobody would have found us. We went and end up hanging out with this gang of young people, young adults. You know, they're working hard. They're trying to survive. They're working hard trying to survive. And they were so amazed that my dad would be willing to go in there, that they actually opened up and listened, and the leader gathered all these people around, and my dad preached to all these people in this room. And they were crying, and what they were crying about is they were amazed and couldn't believe it, that my dad and this kid, I'm like just tagging along. I don't even know what's going on half the time, just like watching the environment. And we go in, and they were amazed with the boldness of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what happened. I do know they were amazed. They were amazed. Fast forward. Just a few weeks ago. Remember, in this series, we've asked you to get up every morning, pray for boldness, make it a part of your life, and then go out and see what God does. What does God do in open doors? So I did the same thing. I said, Lord, this particular morning, I said, Lord, praying for boldness. Give me an opportunity to share. So that evening, I'm at a party, and I meet a couple for the very first time, a young couple. Awesome. We have a great conversation. Turns out they moved here from another country, and they're loving it here in the Tri-Cities, and we're talking about all kinds of fun stuff. And a whisper comes into my heart. You asked for it. You got it. You can share. Share about your faith. It's no big deal. And I sat there, and I waited, and I was afraid. I go, oh, my gosh, there's people around me. We're at a party. It's live right now. What if I do this and everything goes wrong? And I'm thinking all these things. And so I ended up asking them how they like pizza. How they like pizza. And then I fished around a little bit. You know, like underground. It's like, yeah, so what kind of cultural upbringing have you had? What kind of religious upbringing have you had? So they shared with me, oh, well, you know, we grew up culturally Hindu, but you know, that's part of our culture. We like it. I guess if we thought we might think of something, Hindu would probably be our lane, you know, this kind of thing. It was my opportunity. I could have said what I believed. I could have invited them. I could have done any number of things. I could have come on over to my house. Let's have lunch. But I was scared. And I didn't. I stopped. I actually just kept talking about pizza and tennis and how awesome the facility was that we're in. I didn't do it. So we have boldness years ago. And then we have apathy only weeks ago. Have you ever experienced that? Bet you have. Bet you have. So my question is, how amazed are people by your boldness for Jesus Christ? In your notes, there's a little chart you can do. I want to give you some indicators. If you are claiming that you're bold, people are completely amazed, you're going to be up in the 7, 8, 9 category. Let me give you an explanation of what that might mean. That means right now, you probably have somebody sitting next to you that you've invited and they've come. Or you're every morning you're waking up and you got your 4. Remember, say, who's your 4? Your 4 people that you're asking the Lord to bless and touch. Maybe you're in that category, 7, 8. Maybe you're bold with your faith. Maybe you're a 1 or 2. Maybe you go to work every day and nobody in the world even knows that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. They don't even know you were at C3 on Sunday. I mean, you wouldn't even broach the subject, right? Might be a 1 or a 2. How many people are amazed? Are they unmoved? All the way to completely amazed. I want you to take your time. Circle the letter that you're at, or the number that you're at right now. Don't peek at your neighbor and don't, you know, criticize them for their low number. It's okay. But the real question is, once you've identified your number, how do we increase in boldness? There are 2 simple. These are going to be so simple. They're so simple, but they're the gospel of Jesus Christ that it's going to be hard. You're going to go, oh, I might have to come here to hear this. Ready? Here we go. First one, spend more time with Jesus. That's how you increase your boldness. Have you ever noticed that when you stop spending time with Jesus, maybe you stop gathering. Maybe you stop gathering on a Sunday morning. You just take a few weeks off. Maybe you just kind of other things take over. Like, I think it's really cool to go play 10 tennis matches on Sunday instead, or whatever it is. I'm using tennis because that's my love. Whatever your love is, fill in the gap. Whatever that is, what takes you away from spending time with Jesus? How about another question? What does it look like to spend time with Jesus? Or why do we do that? Take a look at Acts 4:13. Back to that scripture again. It says, they were amazed by the disciples' boldness, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training, no special education in scripture. And then it goes on to say that they recognized these men as men who had been with Jesus. And that's the important part. They'd been with Jesus. You need to spend time with Jesus. You can do that through prayer. What would a day look like spending time with Jesus? Is it a magic ritual? Do we have to get really intense about it and have all these things, you know, little altars, I don't know, doing whatever? No, we don't. We get up, we wake up, and go, Lord, it's a new day. You know, I want to know you better today. I'm giving you my heart and my life today. If there's anything I did yesterday that was in opposition to your will, I just give it over to you. You're my life, and I love you, and I want to serve you today. Help me in my workplace. Help me represent you to my colleagues. Help me represent you to my friends. Give me open doors of opportunity to be bold in Jesus' name. Of the circumstances I'm in, I pray, Lord God, that you'd help me work through those circumstances. Help me know that you're present in the circumstances. Help me make wise decisions. You wake up, you jump out. Maybe you read or listen to God's word. Maybe you download daily audio Bible from our website. Maybe you use the YouVersion app and you take a quick read. Maybe it's while you're driving to work. You just listen to God's word. Let it penetrate your soul. Then maybe you're more artistic and you like singing. Maybe you turn on, I don't know, Spotify's C3 playlist. You know, C3 has a playlist on Spotify. You turn it on. It's all the songs we sing here. Maybe you just listen to that and you allow God to saturate your heart. Maybe you just think about him. Maybe you just contemplate how awesome he is and what he's doing in your life. When you don't spend time with him, you get consumed by circumstances. You have decreased joy. You have increased tension. And you don't have any stories to share. Number two, ask for boldness. Number one, spend more time with Jesus Christ. Number two, ask. Ask for more boldness. When you gather up here, you guys, together, this is the equipping spot. This is the spot where we're supposed to be as believers going, okay, yeah, we're in this. We understand. We're all on the same page. And we're leaving to go out in the mission field. Ask for more boldness. Boldness, remember, doesn't always mean a reward. What if you have a gag order? Ask for more boldness. That's what the disciples did. They got gagged. They got thrown in prison. And instead of saying, Lord, help us in our circumstances, save our family, protect our families. Lord, we want traveling mercies as we go to grandma's house. You know, our circumstances are really overwhelming. I can't believe that you made that happen in my life. I know I made a bunch of bad decisions, but you should just be able to clarify it and clear it all up. They didn't say that. They were caught in jail. And the very thing that got them in jail, they asked more for, Acts 4:29. And now, Lord, hear their threats and give us your great boldness to preach your word. They're stuck in jail for doing that very same thing. What do they pray for? More. We should be praying for more. Not safety. The miracle is to be bold. That leads me to wonder about miracles. Sometimes I think, oh, yeah, you come to church. I want to see God heal people. I want to see all this stuff, frenetic activity. I like emotion. I want to see people raising their hands and dancing and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And we're just filled. And some people call that being filled with the Spirit. I'll tell you what the filled with the Spirit is, though. It's none of that. It's when you're out on mission and supernatural things happen because you get to tell a story. And when you tell a story, someone gets to live an eternity forever with God. That's the miracle. That's what we're looking for. And when you place yourself, in these spaces and places, then the miracles happen. It says in Acts 4:31, after this prayer, the meeting place shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. So they asked for boldness and they received boldness. But what else did they receive? The supernatural power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. If you want to have the boldness of the Holy Spirit, if you want to have the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, if you want to have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, ask for boldness in reaching out to others. If we want to see God's supernatural power, we need to be in the places where we require supernatural power. When we're sitting here in this space, on these seats, we don't require that much. Kind of nice. Everybody kind of agrees with me. Pretty safe. But when we head out into the real world, in our workspaces, we need supernatural power. I want the miracle of Jesus to work inside of you. It's not by your knowledge or by your emotion, but you are a growing follower of Jesus Christ. You're a better follower of Jesus Christ. You're a mature follower of Christ, not in how much emotion you exude on a Sunday morning, although that could be part of it. It is how much you're going and you're on mission. That's why at C3, we gather you briefly and we send you out intentionally. We gather you briefly and send you out intentionally. Our goal isn't to bring you. Come over here 6 days a week. Let's do it. Let's have some good worship. No, it's bring here, have good worship, but go. Get out there in the whole Columbia Basin and win people for Jesus Christ. It's out there that you're going to fulfill your mission. That's where the miracles will happen. That's where you'll get your joy and your energy. So the last fill in the blank, if we go, then we will experience Jesus' presence. We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. Do you believe it deeply? Maybe that's your first step. I want to pray for you today. Lord Jesus, first, I lift up those in the sound of my voice that want to know you. They're not sure. They're exploring. But they would like to have a personal relationship with you. And so, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, I give you my whole life. I offer up my everything that I've done wrong, all my sin, and I ask, Lord, that you would just cover me by your work and your rightness, not by my own works. And I give my life over to you, that you'd save me and place me in the space where I can have a relationship with God the Father. Would you be my life? Would you live through me? Lord Jesus, I'm in a place today where I want to restart my relationship with the Lord. I've been away from you for a long time. I want that boldness again. I want to explore and learn and know what it means to follow you. Lord, would you restore me in Jesus' name? Would you set me apart and help me follow you in all of my decision making? In Jesus' name, amen.